I knew what a fortnight is, almost a month, right?
Okay, Rob.
No.
That's what I thought it was.
This next one is Boston Rob mentioning the good some groups can accomplish.
How's it going? All you hear nowadays in the news is the bad stuff about Al-Qaeda, huh? No one ever talks about the good stuff. And don't quote me on this, but I believe, you know Family Guy? Don't quote me on this, but I believe that they're responsible for the Family Guy's return on network TV. Yeah. What? You never hear anyone talk about that. All right, guys, have a good one.
Al-Qaeda.
Oh, he's the elevator dirtbag.
Oh, jeez.
Take one look at him and
get hurt.
You will gag.
Yeah, you are.
When you see the slime ball come, then you should run. He'll tell you that he is a transient. Or say he is giving up gay sex for Lent. He's the elevator dirtbag.
There you go. That's the elevator dirtbag. Our phone number here is 570-1053. If you hear me talking about anything that interests you, you can call in about it. Let's see.
I need a...
Christian Slater fell off the roof at a party that was thrown by Paris Hilton. Is that right, Sky?
Yeah, I guess it happened over the weekend, and it was in West Hollywood, and it was, you know, Paris Hilton's party. Christian Slater was there, and I guess what had happened is some of the neighbors started complaining about all the noise that was being made by Paris's party, so it kind of sounds like Paris's, like, this is what I get from reading it, that Paris's, like, little rooftop patio is one story higher than her neighbor's rooftop patio. Uh-huh. And the neighbor was the one who complained. So it sounds like Christian Slater went over to the edge to kind of look down on the people complaining. I don't know if it was to talk some crap or just to kind of see who was complaining. And he ended up falling over the edge and into the neighbor's little patio. So he fell like one story into the neighbor's bushes.
It sounds like he may have some kind of problem, you know?
Yeah, so...
doing real jackass stuff like that?
Yeah, the cops showed up, the LAPD said he wasn't hurt, he wasn't arrested, he was just, you know, let back into Paris's gig, but if you remember, it was just a little over a month ago where a judge tossed out two counts of misdemeanor harassment against him, because remember, he allegedly groped some chick on the street in Manhattan, like in the middle of the night?
Yeah, yeah.
And so he had his court date for that, and basically the judge threw it out, but said, hey, dude, you keep your nose clean, you stay out of trouble, and you won't have to, you know, do any jail time or whatever. So I guess this falling off the rooftop doesn't count as him getting in trouble. So it's fine. He's fine. Everybody's fine. Just probably pretty embarrassing for him.
Sky, at one time or another, I'm sure you've fallen off a rooftop or two, right? Over at Paris's house?
Well, no, I've never been to Paris's house.
Tell me that you haven't been invited over to Paris Hilton's house?
No.
And you start crawling around on things because you're drunk and high? Don't fall off in the neighbor's house and almost break your arm?
Well, no, I've never had anything like that happen to me.
What part of it did you not relate to? All right, so you weren't drunk, but you're high, you're over at Paris Hilton's house.
No,
you're climbing around, looking over at the neighbors,
at Paris's.
Investigating a report that you did something wrong when you fell off and almost broke something.
No, I've never had any.
Aren't you so
things.
Cool?
Oh, okay, well, all right.
P1 Angie.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
I'm super excited about your 28-hour show.
Nice. Are you working today or what?
I am working. I have school, but the rest of the time will be devoted to listening to you guys.
Now, do you know about what we're doing tonight, Angie?
I know you guys are watching Lost and a couple of movies.
Yes. Now, the movies are an important thing because do you have a DVD player at home?
I do.
Okay, then you're going to want to do this with us, okay?
All right.
You need to go out and either rent or buy The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, the standard edition.
Uh-huh.
And you need to get Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Because tonight, starting at 10 o'clock, we're going to start The Lord of the Rings, and we'll sync it up with you at home. We'll say, All right, are you ready? Let's do this on the radio. Go. Are you ready? When I count, I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, go, and then you press play from your main menu. And I'll go 1, 2, 3, go, and we'll all press play. And that means that you'll be watching the movie right along with us, and we're going to be making fun of the movie, so you can turn the volume of your movie down and listen to us on the radio and laugh your ass off.
For sure.
And then we're going to do the same thing with Willy Wonka, and it's really a good time.
It's going to be a great time. I'm really excited.
All right, cool, Angie.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, we'll see you. 570-1053 is the number. The other thing is, I have not explained to a lot of new people what a P1 is. A P1 is a listener that turns their radio down, gets to their point, and doesn't cuss when they call in. And one of the jobs of a P1 is to recruit new P1s. So what we're doing today is really special. If you were the type of person that used to complain, you know, one of the things I don't like about the radio is all the commercials, all the music, all the this, all of that. None of that is on today. This is the only radio show in San Diego right now. And I mean this no matter what you think, this one's true. Howard Stern, Dave Shelley and Chainsaw, Jeff and Jer, Tony and Chris, every single radio show in San Diego is playing commercials today, except for us. No commercials, no music. Entertainment the whole damn time. And that's that. So, there you go. Eddie, were you going to say something? Mm-hmm. I thought you had something. the other thing is, let me give you some of the stuff we're going to be doing today. Some of the things that you'll hear today. We did the 28-hour show last year. One of the things that we're bringing back is Mikey's show Idol.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
It's like American.
Oh, hell yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I need to get something out right now. Hang on a minute. My wife got me some throat lozenges.
Smart.
Yeah. Oh, and Boston Rob, take a break from the phone for a second to hear me. See, for me, it's kind of tough because as the host of the show, I talk more than everybody. And at 5 o'clock today, we all have to sing. Now, there's nothing I can do about it. My voice is going to be jacked. Mm-hmm. All of our voices are going to be jacked. But I got it pretty tough because I'm talking a lot. And so what I brought is, my wife did this.
Tea?
She got me some honey and lemon decaf tea.
Oh, good stuff.
And she got me some caffeine-free herbal ginger twist.
Mm.
Oh, wait a minute. The other one's not caffeine-free. Oh, that's right. She wanted to get me two different kinds. All right, so Rob?
Yeah.
Your job is?
To make tea?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, I don't even know how. Read the directions.
I think I know. Colonels can do that.
Colonels? Oh. All right, Colonels, get in here.
Wait a second. You don't know how to make tea?
No, I don't drink tea. I guess you put it in a little coffee thing or whatever.
Can I explain to you how to make tea?
Yeah.
You heat up a cup of hot water in the microwave, mm-hmm. and then you put a tea bag in it.
All right. Colonels, come in here. How many of these do I need, Skye?
One.
Just one?
One cup. You're making one cup?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just need one pack?
Yes, one pack for one cup.
One packet. What if I like my tea strong?
Then you let the bag sit in there longer.
All right. Here, Colonels, you're in charge of the tea. You guys want to share some of this stuff? You guys want any of this stuff?
Not
you want
yet.
Any tea?
I'll have some.
Not right now.
All right. And that needs to go in the refrigerator in the office.
And we have a cooler. Put it in the cooler.
Oh, we got a cooler here? Okay, go ahead. Put it in the cooler.
Yeah, I hooked it up.
And then look at this, you guys.
What did you get?
She got me Ricola.
Ricola.
Oh, cherry honey. Nice. Herb throat drops, which I'm going to be doing these all day.
Give that to B-Rob.
And Hall's Defense Vitamin C with echinacea and zinc, which, by the way, echinacea does not do anything for you. It does nothing for your body. Zero, zilch, nothing. Came out in the newspaper, Skye.
Doesn't boost your immune system?
No, they did a report on echinacea. It don't do nothing. And I took that report and I forwarded it to my friend Amy, who is of the complete belief that echinacea helps people fight off cold. It doesn't do a thing. Echinacea is a wonderful little herb that looks pretty. Hmm. Doesn't do a thing for us.
Wow, who knew?
Well, I knew the whole time. Couldn't convince her.
Yeah.
I don't believe in herbs and stuff like that.
How can you not believe in
herbs? Because I don't think they do anything for you.
But you do admit that there's other things in nature that do stuff for you. I mean, that's how medicines are made.
Yeah.
Penicillin, obviously weed and coke affect people.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
they're found in nature.
Well, look at you.
Well, don't look at me like I'm a crazy person.
No, I'm just saying you're a drug addict.
I'll accept that.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
All right. Here's some of the things that we're going to have on the show for you today. And by today, I mean until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. First of all, we're going to be premiering a new game at 8 o'clock this morning. It's called the Losing My Virginity game. Kind of interesting the way that it works. And it's not dirty. And when you hear that, you might think, oh, is that dirty? It's not dirty. What it is you're going to hear factual things that occurred when the six of us on the show happened to lose our virginity. You're going to have to figure out who was the person you're hearing that about. For instance, the fact might be Three's Company was on in the background. That's just something that I just made up and that I just thought of. That could be what the fact is. And you would go, I think that's Eddie. I think that's Sean. I think
ironically enough, my first time was with Suzanne Summers.
Oh, wow.
So it's
how about that?
It's weird that you brought that up.
Yeah, no.
I don't think so.
That's a good fact. You should have put that fact.
Oh, I did.
You okay?
Yeah. I mean, we're using the Thigh Master.
Well, hold on. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got it.
Well, no, I want.
No, I'm good.
I want to tell you. About
I kind of get where you're going.
Fine.
Oh, dude. UFC fighters Matt Hughes and Rich Franklin will be on the show today. Various celebrity guests throughout. Now and 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Let me just tell you also, there's a bunch of people that I don't have confirmed. Everybody on that list is confirmed.
Okay.
There's a bunch of people that are kind of, were on the fence about calling in that I have calls into, emails into, that could call at any time too.
There you go.
So, I mean, there might just be, we might be in the middle of something and so-and-so might call in.
Okay. So?
Yes.
Love him.
We're going to do some traffic.
Oh, we are?
Yeah. And the purple... in the center of your page is the traffic
okay.
music, and then you got to pot it up, and Rick's ready for you.
Where is, can he hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, you can hear, hey, Rick.
What's going on, man?
Hey, dude. That's good. Let me give you your little thing here.
Okay.
105.3 traffic brought to you by Sleep Train Mattress Centers.
Cool, we're all official now.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got the busier rides getting in our freeways, man. Getting pretty tough in some spots. Maybe give yourself some extra time. This report's brought to you by the San Diego Union-Tribune. The San Diego County Board of Supervisors is openly defying state law on medical marijuana. Despite a warning from county attorneys, the board is refusing to register medical marijuana users and provide them with ID cards. Why? Find out in today's Union-Tribune. I got the busier ride now out of the South Bay. Getting pretty tough on both the 5 and the 805 northbound. Struggling on both these freeways out of Chula Vista up to National City. 805 continues with a slowdown off and on into North Park. Then you've got a busy ride waiting for you already coming out of Kearney Mesa, heading up over that 52. Westbound 94 in the King Freeway. This is stacked up big time already through Lemon Grove from Massachusetts, solid to the 805. Another backup here from 28th Street into downtown. Westbound 8's not doing too bad, just a brief lane near the 805 so far. West 52, however, that's a busy one coming out of Santee over the summit. Heading south in the 15, that's no surprise. Just nuts to bust from the 78 past Via Rancho Parkway. And the coastal ride, southbound 5, is now struggling here from Las Flores, off and on all the way down to Lone Santa Fe Drive in Solana Beach. I'm Rick Lawrence on San Diego's Rock Station, Rock 105.3.
Thanks, Rick. All right. All right, let me tell you some more about what we're going to have on the show. These are confirmed things, by the way. We're going to do tone-deaf karaoke later. We're going to have a hypnotist in here hypnotizing the listeners, where listeners will actually have the chance to come in here and be hypnotized. And there's another one that I'm really excited about. Got an email from a listener whose father was a consultant on the new movie Jarhead.
Boom, 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 yeah. Boom, boom, boom. We at war. We at war with terrorism.
So we're going to have this guy on the show.
Racism. Most of all. We at war with ourselves. God, show me the way because the devil's trying to break me down.
I can't wait to talk to this guy. And he's also a consultant on a new Clint Eastwood movie called Brother in Arms. Brothers in Arms. So we'll talk to that guy later. Do some reality bites later on. We are going to have, I think for the first time, I'm not sure, Eddie can tell me. I think for the first time on our show in San Diego, the first women's panel here in San Diego.
Yes.
First women's panel. We are going to have a P1 be a part of the women's panel. And what it is guys will have the opportunity to call in and ask women anything they want. Sometimes it's hard to ask your wife, your girlfriend, whatever. And these are questions that have to do with anything you want to know. You know, if you want to be like, hey, how come women say this when they actually mean this? That kind of deal. It's just an insight into a woman, and that's always good. We are also going to be doing the first Do You Sound Hot with guys.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why?
We have to.
Sky wanted it so damn bad.
Oh, come on.
I said, fine. We're going to do the first Do You Sound Hot. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to make fun of these dudes.
Well, what? I mean,
you think it was brutal before? All I know is I'm going to make fun of these dudes.
What consists of a hot guy? Like,
come on, Eddie, do you really have to ask?
Okay.
I mean, do you really
That's
have
not
to
hot.
Ask?
That's disgusting.
Oh, it's hot, all right.
That makes me want to Ralph.
Sky, like, what if I talk to you like this, girl?
Oh, hello.
Oh, now I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
That's definitely very hot, right, girl?
That's right.
When I can make them ears perk up a little bit and say, that sounds like a real handsome African-American man.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine if I was wearing a t-shirt right now, a jersey that said the word Oben on the back of it right now.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
That's what I'm talking about. So anyway, that's all coming up on the show today. We're going to be on from now until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Coming up on hour two in just a second. What other things do I have for you? News-wise, here's some of the things happening in the world. Jessica Simpson is seeing a therapist to try to get over all of this rumors that are going on that say that her and Nick Lachey, her husband, are breaking up.
Yep. It's an interview with Teen People.
Now, it was really weird because when I first read it, I thought it said that Jessica Simpson sees the rapist. And I was like, well, who is the rapist?
No, no therapist.
The rapist.
Yeah, Jessica Simpson sees the rapist.
Oh, what kind of is funny yet sad about this whole thing is she shared the story and the cover of Teen People with her sister.
Uh-huh.
And it was supposed to kind of be about her sister and her sister's new album and how Jessica always supports her. And now all anybody is taking from this article is Jessica is seeing a therapist. You know, nobody's even talking about Ashley Simpson, which is sad, but, you know, pretty much we all knew that was coming.
Yeah.
So she says she's seeing the therapist because being in the media is so hard, especially now that the media has this huge fascination on being the first one to get the scoop if her and Nick ever break up. She says hopefully her and Nick will be together forever like they vowed on their wedding day. So,
well, all I know is that that rumor that came out about the girl that said, I made out with Nick Lachey, it had a real air of realism to me.
Yeah.
It didn't sound like BS. How do they work through that stuff?
I don't know.
And there's a pretty good, easy way to check it out. Check his cell phone record. If he says, hey, I didn't do anything, okay, fine. Just let me take a look at the cell phone record. And then you didn't do anything. Yeah. I'm convinced of it and I trust you. That's the world that they live in, though. Ah, look at Bobby Kernels coming in with a T.
Oh, look at this guy.
The Colonel.
Aren't you great?
Everyone salute the Colonel.
Colonels, how long do we have you for today?
As long as I can, really.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you have class or anything?
I took care of it for tomorrow, so.
Cool. Look at this guy.
You're here the whole time.
You're so good.
Oh, man. I want to jump all over you right now.
Wow, Sean.
And beat your ass senseless.
That's just
strange, isn't it?
In a good way.
Oh, well then.
A loving way.
Well then, cool.
All right, Sky. Now you say the longer I keep it in there, the stronger it'll be.
Exactly. So you'll see the water start to, you know, change as the tea steeps.
Mm-hmm.
And then whenever the water gets to the consistency that you want it, then you just throw the tea bag out.
We've got a guest on the line, Matthew Modine.
Is this Matthew Modine?
Good morning, Mikey.
How are you?
How's things in San Diego?
Things are good. How are you? Where are you at?
I'm in New York City.
There you go. That's a good city.
You know, I went to school in San Diego.
Where?
I went to high school in Imperial Beach. I was sort of I bounced around a little bit. I'll let you make up your own reasons why.
But yeah,
I went to Mar Vista, Southwest, and Marion High School.
Wow.
And I want to point out that he went to high school in IB, and he is not African American. Matthew Modine, white guy.
White guy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Did you get beat up?
Is Imperial Beach is the high school primarily African-American?
African-American, for sure.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was mostly a bunch of white guys when I was there. Wow. And then white guys and Mexicans.
Yeah. There's still a lot of...
We got a lot of Mexicans.
So, yeah, believe it or not, I'm Mexican. It don't sound like it, but I am. It's the truth. It's the truth, man. Matthew Modine on the line. Matthew Modine was the star of Full Metal Jacket, first of all. One of my favorite movies ever.
And Vision Quest. Woo!
That's right. And is the author of the Full Metal Jacket Diary, a photographic memoir set behind the scenes of Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah,
How'd you get the idea? You had these photographs for a while and said, I got to do something with these.
Well, before I left for England, a friend of mine gave me a Rolleiflex camera because he said Stanley would be really impressed if I knew how to use it. And Stanley was a photojournalist before he became a filmmaker. And it's an old box camera, 2.25 by 2.25 inches. It's a beautiful camera. And so I taught myself how to use it, and I went over to London, and Stanley wasn't impressed with my camera, but he allowed me to take pictures on the set with it. And because he thought it was just too old and antiquated, that there was much better cameras that were available. So I took pictures on the set, and then because I was a journalist in the story, I just kept a diary while I was making the movie. And I always wanted to do something with the photographs. I never imagined doing anything with my diary because it was just too personal. But after so much time had gone by and I was looking at the photographs, and I thought, I need to caption some of these photographs. I'll transcribe the diary and see what's good from it. And as I transcribed the diary, it was such an incredible story about this young kid going off to work with this genius filmmaker, and the frustrations and the anger and the aspirations that you might have going off to England to work with him, and the disillusionment that starts to creep into the whole experience, because it was like Gilligan's Island. It was supposed to be a 3-hour tour, in this case a 3-month tour over to London to work with Kubrick, and it turned into 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, 10 months, 12 months, the point was almost 2 years of my life over in England.
Now that it's over, and it's been, this movie has been out for years and years. When did Full Metal Jacket come out?
87, 86.
Okay, so we're almost 20 years removed from it.
Yeah.
What do you feel about the movie now?
Well, I think it's pretty great. It just last night we went over to see it at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. We did a book signing and they had a screening of the film. I think it's gotten better than when it was first released, which I was pretty impressed with it when it came out. But I think it's gotten better. And there's something that's really creepy about it. There's something, you know, I guess it was Napoleon who said that what we've learned from history is that we haven't learned from history. And when you take the case of Vietnam War, and the present situation where we find ourselves in Iraq with no exit strategy, and kind of a lot of people questioning, you know, are fighting over there at all, that there's things that are just too creepy and reminiscent of the situation that we found ourselves in how many years ago with Vietnam, 1968, when we pulled out.
I just want to point out, we're talking to Matthew Modine. He was in Full Metal Jacket. He's the author of this book, Full Metal Jacket Diary, a photographic memoir. It's set behind the scenes of Full Metal Jacket. Eddie?
It's one of my favorite movies of all time, but I've always thought, Matthew, that it's like two movies in one.
Yeah.
You know,
there's the first 45 minutes.
Right, which is, you know, all the stuff in boot camp, which is amazing to me. I love that stuff. And then it gets real dark when they're actually over in Vietnam. Well, the entire movie's dark, but it gets real kind of weird and creepy when it goes over to Vietnam. Did you kind of feel that too?
Oh, absolutely.
Like it was two movies?
Yeah. Stanley called me when the film came out. There was somebody who reviewed the movie. They said, because there was a lot of people saying similar things in their reviews, that the film was two films. And he said, listen to this. He said, he quoted the reviewer. He said, the first half of the film is brilliant. Then the film degenerates into a masterpiece. He said, that's good writing. And I think that's ultimately what happens. It kind of, you go from this extreme high in the first half, which is so explosive and so crazy with the performance of Lee Ermey and Vincent D'Onofrio, and then the film degenerates. It kind of starts to get lost and meandering, and then it turns into a masterpiece.
We're talking to Matthew Modine, who played Private Joker in Full Metal Jacket, and Lee Ermey is a friend of this radio station. He does a lot of work with Toys for Tots. And he's in here every Christmas doing the Toys for Tots stuff with us. Now, let me ask you a question, Matthew, about Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah.
Because...
I love Lee Ermling, by the way. I mean, everybody always talks about his performance in Full Metal Jacket and you know, with Mail Call Now, that he's recreating him in certain ways. But we mustn't forget his performance in Mississippi Burning or Dead Man Walking.
Seven. He's great in Seven.
Yeah, when he's given the opportunity to do something else, he hits home runs. You know, he's a real character. And you're right, all the work he does for the USO, Toys for Tots.
This is Lee Ermey on the Mikey Show.
Look at this, ladies and gentlemen.
Can you hear this?
We have a real smartass in our midst.
No, I can't hear it.
Oh, man. My equipment ain't working if you can't hear that.
Yeah.
All right, I'll
fire the technician.
All right, anyway, so let me ask you about Kubrick.
Okay.
Kubrick's one of my favorite movie directors ever, and I was having dinner last night with our sound effects guy and with my wife, and I said, Stanley Kubrick is probably one of the greatest filmmakers of our time, not of a generation, but of our time. And I was telling her about Full Metal Jacket. I was telling her about The Shining, and we got into this conversation with my sound effects guy about the movie The Shining and how Kubrick really had a tough time working with Shelley Duvall, and that is, you could see that in the making of The Shining. If you have the DVD and the making of, you see that he was a little frustrated with Shelley Duvall. Did you ever speak to him about any of his other movies or his relationships in other movies?
We never talked much about The Shining. The thing that's incredible about that documentary, it was made by his daughter, Stanley Kubrick's daughter, Vivian.
Oh, I thought it was made by his wife, Vivian. It was his daughter?
His daughter, Vivian.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
She did the music for Full Metal Jacket. She's a wonderfully talented artist in her own right.
Wow.
But the amazing thing is that Stanley would have allowed himself to be seen in such a sort of uncompromising fashion, you know, that you'd think that a director wouldn't want that to be seen. You know, if you're talking about specifically the scene when Shelley Duvall doesn't come out, everybody's standing outside in the snow freezing and he starts screaming at her.
Yeah, and this, by the way, just so people that don't know, this is off, you know, this is not something in the movie, this is off camera.
Yeah.
Shelley Duvall is supposed to walk out of the hotel outside into the snow and she's not. And Stanley Kubrick, yes, he starts yelling at her, and in my opinion, she's a pain in the butt.
Well, then there's this thing called you can direct by misdirection. And you think about Shelley Duvall's performance in that film, it's fantastic. And she's on edge, she's shaking, to push an actor to that extreme, you know, I don't know what Shelley Duvall was playing on her own, the way that she interpreted the role. But what Stanley pushed her into is an incredible performance. So if he had to push her...
I see what you're saying. What you're saying now. I never thought of it like that.
Yeah.
He was doing that to her.
He was doing that to her, yeah.
Oh, that's outstanding.
Yeah, and in some ways, I think that Jack Nicholson is playing Stanley Kubrick.
Oh, that's great, dude. That's great. Matthew Modine... Star of Full Metal Jacket, author of Full Metal Jacket Diary, a photographic memoir set behind the scenes. You can get this at any bookstore, I'm thinking.
You can go in and if they don't have it because they've been selling out, ask them to order it. You can go online and order it. But I'll tell you, if you're really interested in the book, you better go get it now. If you want the Full Metal Jacket, because it's the jacket of the book is made out of metal.
Really?
And there's only 20,000 of them. They have serial numbers on the back of the book.
Oh, that's great. Wow. That's
so
great.
Once that 20,000 is gone, they're gone. And it's a cheap book. I mean, the book is $29.95. If you buy it online, it's $19.95. And you can't buy a paperback book for $29.95, some books.
Did Lee Ermey... In the scene where he tells you to choke yourself, did he actually choke you, or did he take it easy?
That was Vincent D'Onofrio.
Oh, that was Vincent.
What he did do was slap me silly for several days.
Really? And he did slap you?
Next time Lee's in the studio, ask him to show you the scar on his shoulder. I don't know if he sustained a wound in Vietnam or how he got it, but he had some shoulder surgery. that's hard to say, shoulder surgery.
Yeah.
And he had trouble swinging his arm around, so he punched me in the gut several hundred times and
really? Slapped
me across the face. So it got to the point, when it was Vincent D'Onofrio's turn out in the field when he puts the rifle on the wrong side of the shoulder. It's supposed to be on the right. And so Lee goes over to him. He says, slaps him across the face, and he says, what side of your face is that? The right side, sir. And whack, he slaps him across the face. What side is that? The left side, sir. Vincent told him, look, let's just get it over with. He went to Stanley, says, I want him to slap me. He went to Lee Ermey and said, I want you to slap me. And Lee said, okay, because he wanted to get it over with. He didn't want to be, you know, accidentally slapped, kind of slapped. He said, let's just get it over with. Just smack me across the face. Vincent gets hit so hard, that hat spins around on his head, like does a 360 on his head. He gets hit so hard.
That's outstanding. Matthew wow. Modine, thank you so much, man. We know we got to let you go, but I appreciate you coming on the show. Go buy the book.
It's a great book.
All right. Thanks a lot, Matthew.
All right.
All right. We'll see you.
Yeah.
Matthew Modine.
Look at this, ladies and gentlemen. We have a real smartass in our midst. Private Mikey. From now on, you are no longer Private Mikey. You are now Private Dickhead. Well, what are you waiting for, Private Dickhead? Play a record.
The Mikey Show 28-Hour Marathon is brought to you by KSWB Channel 569. Tune in Thursday night for Smallville at 8 o'clock. Official home of the Mikey Show 28-Hour Marathon is
KIOZ, San Diego's Rock.
Rock 105.3.
The following takes place between 7 a.m. and 8 a.m.
Only 27 hours left, folks.
Yeah! 1 hour down.
There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, yeah.
27 to go.
Listen, I know Matthew had to go because he's got a lot of interviews he has to do. I could have talked to him for a long time.
27 hours?
Yeah, I could have.
He was cool.
Stanley Kubrick stuff. I got questions about Stanley Kubrick. God, he's a great director, man.
Yeah, when I...
Just about The Shining. I talked about The Shining forever.
When I booked that guy, I knew you were going to have a good time with it because, I mean, I know you're a fan of both movies and stuff like that. And I kind of pictured... Like, this would be a guy that Mikey would want to have dinner with.
Yes.
You know, and just shoot the BS.
That is the correct statement. Bobby Kernel's just IM'd me.
What'd he say?
He said that Matthew Modine was originally offered Tom Cruise's role in Top Gun.
Whoa.
Really?
Turned down the part because he disagreed with the film's Cold War politics.
Interesting.
Isn't that? I wish I had known that.
That's really interesting.
Colonels is just a wealth of knowledge.
Colonels gets you good info, you know?
He does.
It's the kind of info that you kind of, you know, you're just sitting there, you're wishing, man, I wish Boston Rob would get me that same kind of info.
We don't need to compare our children.
If we're being honest.
Let's not do that.
If we're being honest.
I've thought that.
Mm-hmm.
Rude.
Let's see. Who's this, P1 Joe's?
Hey, Mikey, what's up?
What's up?
I just want to call and say thank you guys for doing this 28-hour show because today is my 25th birthday and I can't think of a better way to spend my birthday than listening to you guys all day.
Now, there you go, bro.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, okay, man?
Hey, thanks, man.
All right, thanks.
All right, we got...
Phil Gordon on the line.
Yeah.
Wow. Is this Phil Gordon?
It is. Good morning.
Co-host of Celebrity Poker Showdown.
Yeah.
And you got some new folks coming on, right? I saw a promo with some new folks, and they look pretty good. Is it true Oksana Bayul is going to be playing poker?
If you call it that.
Uh-oh.
She's not very good, huh?
Well, let's just say she went for a triple axel, landed on an edge, and busted her ass.
Oh, no.
I thought she looked cute.
Oh, yeah. She's adorable.
Mm-hmm.
She's really adorable and such a nice person. But, I don't want to give away the show. It's Thursday night. Thursday night at 9, and you won't want to miss that. I'm going to give her a 2.0 for our technical merit. And,
well, 5. You're East German. That's why you do that.
Yeah. I'm going to give her a 5.7 for artistic performance.
Oh.
Phil Gordon, co-host of Celebrity Poker Showdown. Best celebrity poker player you've ever seen play?
Toby Maguire.
Wow.
Yeah. He takes it real seriously, right?
Didn't he play in the World Series this year?
Yeah, he plays in a lot. He plays more tournaments than I play.
Jeez.
He takes it real serious, right?
Yeah, he's a very serious guy, and he's studied the game the right way. He's he's taking the game very seriously. He's read all the books. He's talked to all the great players. He's putting the time in at the tables, and that's what it takes to improve your game.
Last celebrity game that you played in?
Last celebrity game I played in, I played with...